Good evening. Oh, you got to do better than that. Good evening. Good evening, sisters. It is an honor and a privilege, the blessing to be here with you this evening. So as we get started, let's try something. When I say thank you say Jesus. Thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Jesus.
Okay, now you got to stay in rhythm with me, okay? All right, here we go. One, two, three, and. When I say thank you say Jesus. Thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Jesus.
When I say hallelujah, you say luya.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. When I say praise, you say the Lord. Praise.
The Lord.
Praise.
The Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, come on. Here we go. One, two, three, and. When I say thank you say Jesus. Thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Jesus.
When I say hallelujah, you say luya.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. When I say praise, you say the Lord. Praise.
The Lord.
Praise. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Jesus.
Praise. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you. Praise. Praise the Lord, sisters. That's right. Let's give God some praise tonight. Hallelujah. Yes, for God has been so good to us. Now, for those of you who were with us 2 weeks ago, you know that we like to participate as we study, right? So, everybody stand for me. And now find another sister. Find somebody else in the room that you can look at. Don't look at me anymore. Turn and look at them. If there's nobody next to you, that means you need to move. Okay, so, all right, now you're going to say to them what you hear me say. So don't look at me, look at them, and just follow my words. Good evening, sister. On tonight, it is very important that you not only know, but that you also understand that Mark chapter 10, verse 27 says to you and to me that with man this looks impossible, but not with God, because with God all things are possible. Now, sister, just in case you were afraid of what I was going to say to you, I'm going to repeat myself again, because it is very important. I said extremely important that you not only know, but that you also understand that Mark chapter 10, verse 27. I said Mark chapter 10, verse 27 says to you and to me that with man, this thing right here, it looks impossible. But sister, not with God, because with God, all things, 100%, not 99, capital A-L-L, I said all things are possible with God. Now, finally, neighbor, the word of God also says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Sister, are you breathing? Then let's give God some more praise. Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah, yes, yes. Go ahead and be seated. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. One more time, into my heart, into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. God, tonight we just want to say thank you. We want to thank you for being that good, good Father. It's because of you that we were able to wake up this morning, and it's because of you that we are in here tonight. And God, as we study, we pray again, Lord, do not allow us to walk out of here unchanged. Speak to us, Lord. I'm praying that you will give every man and woman in this room a specific message tonight for our souls, Lord, so that when you come again, we can be with you for eternity. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Everyone should have received a little packet with two sheets of paper. If you do not have the worksheets for tonight, please raise your hand so that someone can give it to you. It's very important that you have it, so whoever has them, if you could help pass them out, we should have enough for everyone tonight. Tonight we're looking at God being merciful. Who is he? He is merciful. Anybody in here has had an experience with God being merciful? Merciful unto you? Yes. All of us should have our hands raised. I mean, the very fact that you can hear me, man, that's a miracle. The very fact that you can see me, that's a miracle. The fact that you walked in here, even if you have arthritis in your leg, that's a miracle. God is merciful to every single one of us tonight. Oh, I hope we didn't run out. We ran out. Okay, so if you are sitting next to somebody who has a packet, please go close to them. I apologize about that. I guess we have more ladies than we expected. Okay, awesome. So we're going to keep on going. I do have one extra one that I can give to somebody if anybody wants that real quick. I do have one. I'm going to give this to you and somebody who doesn't have it. So those of you who have the worksheet, we're looking at the top, and at the very beginning, it says, mercy is a concept that is integral. That means that's very important. That is vital to an understanding of God's dealings with humankind. In the English translations of the Bible, it comes to expression in phrases such as, to be merciful, to have mercy on, or to show mercy towards. I'm going to say that again. When we talk about being merciful, we are familiar with phrases that go like this, to be merciful, or to have mercy on, or to show mercy towards. How many of you have ever said or heard somebody say, Lord, have mercy? Now, sometimes we say it jokingly, Lord, have mercy. And sometimes it's like, Lord, please have mercy on me. But either way, when we say that phrase and we're looking at mercy, we're looking at something specific that we are trying to receive. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 31. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 31. We're asking the question, who is he? Merciful. So how do we answer that? We answer it from the Word of God. Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, we're looking at chapter 4 and verse 31. It's a fill in the blank for those of you who have the worksheet. So we're going to go ahead and start. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. Hallelujah. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon nor destroy you or forget the covenant with your ancestors, which he confirmed to them by oath. So who is God? He is merciful. How do we know? Because here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, he says, Kelly, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon Lenny or destroy you or forget, Stacy, the covenant that he made with your ancestors, your grandmother, your great-grandfather, which he confirmed to them by oath. What is an oath? An oath is a promise. The Word of God tells us that for generations, as we'll read later on in Scripture again, when God makes a promise, he keeps it from one generation to the next. Isn't that exciting? Yes. God is who? He is merciful. So when we look at merciful, merciful means showing or exercising mercy. Showing or exercising mercy. When you exercise, you are how? Are you standing still? No, you're active, right? So God's mercy is not stagnant. His mercy is continuous. His mercy is all-consuming. His mercy is everlasting. His mercy does not have a time limit. When God was merciful to you yesterday by giving you food to eat, it does not mean that you are done experiencing his mercy. No. How do we know that? Because in the word of God, he says, Linda, morning by morning, brand new mercies. Woo! Yes. Morning by morning, when we were here 2 weeks ago, I think I may have touched on this, but this is one of my favorite passages of scripture. Morning by morning, brand new mercies. What that Bible verse is telling us is that every single day when we open our eyes, Rebecca, that God wants to do something for you, Susan, that he's never done before. Isn't that exciting? I mean, I'm 45. And I say, in my 45 years of living, I think that I have experienced a lot. And so when I think of brand new, a lot of times I think there's not a whole lot that I have not seen, have not heard, or have not experienced. Even sometimes when it comes to the blessings of God, we put a limitation on God. And God says, take that limitation off. God says, every morning when you open up your eyes, before you take your feet and step outside of that bed, I'm already telling you, will you trust me today? Will you allow me today to be your best friend? Will you allow me today to be your comforter? Will you allow me today to be your provider? Why? Because I've given you a promise. I have made a commitment to your great-grandfather, to your generations. I said that every single day I want to do something brand new for you. What will your day be like tomorrow if when you woke up in the morning, you said, Lord, here am I. Have your way. How do you want to keep your promises to me today? I'm going to take my hands off of my to-do list. I'm going to take my hands off of what appears to be a lack or a limitation. I'm going to take my hands off the scars and the pain that I have experienced, and I'm going to put it in your hands because you're a good, good father. That's who you are. And God, you promised that you would supply for all of my needs. So I'm going to take you at your word. Matter of fact, God, in the word of God, you said, prove me now wherewith, and I will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon me that I don't have room enough to receive. God said, Lord, you said you want to do that. So Lord, I'm going to step back and I'm going to let you do your thing. Who is he? He is merciful. As we continue on the sheet, not only does he exercise and show mercy, but of an event coming as mercy. When something comes as merciful, it brings relief from something unpleasant. God is powerful. I want you to think quietly, what is something unpleasant in your life right now? That may be a person. It may be a circumstance, right? It may be a place that you have to keep going to. And God says, I'm merciful. I can prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Will you let him? That is the question. So when we go back to the top where it says merciful showing or exercising mercy, it was the will of a merciful God that all should be saved. So when we think about mercy, we all understand that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross to save us from our sins. This was not a myth. It's not a fable. It is a fact. And because he did, when we receive and accept the gift of salvation, that is mercy in effect. Do you understand that right now God is being merciful to every single one of us in this room? All of us are sinners saved by grace. And yet if it was not for the grace of God, if it was not for the mercy of God, we would be consumed or we would be relegated to eternal damnation. But oh, we give thanks for a merciful God who said, I love you with an everlasting love. And see, sisters, when we hear these things, when we come to church from week to week and we do the Bible studies, we cannot ingest it and then that's it. It has to be a part of our DNA. It has to be a part of our understanding. When I was here last time, I said to you, you have to see it before you see it in order to see it. So for those of you who are not here, I'm going to repeat myself again, okay? You have to see it in here before you see it with your eyes in order to see it manifested in your hands. When somebody asks you a question, before you even open your mouth to answer the question, you have already formed a mental visual picture of what the answer looks like. If I was to ask one of you, what is your favorite food? What is your favorite color? What's the best movie you've ever seen? Before you even open your mouth, you already see it in here. And the same thing happens in our day-to-day walk with God. We encounter a situation. We encounter a challenge. We encounter what appears to be an overwhelming trial. And God says, what is your first thought? What is already in here? When that trial comes, that you feel that you can't handle, that is too overwhelming, that is extremely painful, is your first thought in here, how am I going to handle it? Or is your first thought in here, God, you can handle it? Because this is how we do this Christian walk for real. God says to you and me, peace I give to you. Not the kind of peace that the world gives, but how are we able to receive that peace? Again, it's one thing to hear it. It's one thing to pray with somebody else, and it's another thing to live it. And we're able to live it when we take the word of God as fact and when we continue to keep the doors of our minds and our hearts open to God and letting God lead instead of rehearsing the difficulties, walking and looking to see how God is going to move. I had a long day today, and as I was driving here, I was in my car praying. I said, Lord, I need your energy. I need your strength because I'm tired. And I literally heard the voice of God say, go to your phone and put in a song. And I put in the song, and I sang the song all the way here. And I said, okay, God, I feel your peace. Everything's going to be all right. And when I walked in here, and guess what was the first song that you sang? You're a good, good father. I said, oh, hallelujah. That was God's sign of confirmation to me, even as I was driving here, that he was with me, that he was not going to let tiredness overwhelm me or consume me. That is how we do it. Whisper a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in the evening to keep your heart in tune. Merciful, that's who he is. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Now we're going to look at Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Here, God has a command that he gives to you and to me that is very relevant for this life that we live every single day. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Let's read it all together. I'll give you another moment to find it. The book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. We're looking at verse 6. Feel free as you are taking notes to highlight or underline, because this verse right here, again, is another promise. It's another statement. It's a command that God gives to you and I that is real and relevant for our daily lives. Here we go. Let's read it all together. It doesn't matter what version we have. Here we go. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. All right? We're going to read it again in a moment. It doesn't matter if you're reading from your phone or your Bible or the worksheet. But we're going to read it again, okay? And I will explain to you in a moment why we're reading it the second time and then a third time, okay? So here we go. Let's read it again now. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never. Woo! Isn't that serious? Yes! Hallelujah! Right now, God is saying to all of us in this room, not even some of us, he's saying, hey, listen, I have a command for you. And that command is, girl, be strong. Girl, be courageous. Sister, don't be afraid of them. Don't be terrified. Why? Because the Lord your God is with you. Oh, how comforting is it to know that God is with you, that he's never going to abandon you. He's never going to leave you. And it's not even like the never as far as future. He's not leaving you right now. In this very moment, he's with you. He's all in the midst of every circumstance that you give him. So if you're in this room tonight and you're holding on to something, let it go. Let it go. Because God is a very attentive God. Remember, he knows who you are. He knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. He knows the number of days. He knows the number of hairs you have on your head. He knew when you graduated from high school. He knew when you first fell in love. He was there when you first got your period. Listen, he knows it all. He knows everything. There's nothing that concerns you. So your joys as well as your pains, your uncertainties, your insecurities, he's right there. If you don't know what to wear in the morning, get up in the morning and say, God, dress me. Lord, what do you want to wear? Listen, I get real with God. God, how you want to do my hair? I ask God because I get tired sometimes trying to do it on my own. God, what do you want me to wear? God, I need you. Listen, for every concern. Before I got married, I was single for a very, very long time. Matter of fact, today's my wedding anniversary. Yes, praise God. We're married for 3 years. So I told you I'm 45. I got married very late. And I remember being single and miserable. Miserable. I remember being angry at God. God, I don't understand. How is it that I'm still waiting to get married? How is it that I'm praying with everybody, fasting and praying and watching everybody else get married and having babies, and I'm still over here crying? And I remember one night I said, God, listen, I haven't been touched in a long time. Like, I need a hug. And if God, if you don't hug me, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to do something just to feel satisfied in the moment that you really don't want me to do. So I need you. I don't know how you're going to do it, God, but I need you to literally put your arms around me and let me literally feel your safety and your security. Let me feel like somebody's arms are around me, God. I need you to keep me because you're a keeper. And I can't tell you how it happened. I can only tell you that I just began to feel this sense of safety and security. God takes care of our needs. There was one night where I said, God, I'm tired of talking to my girlfriends. Like, I'm tired of all this estrogen. I need some testosterone in my life. And I said, God, tonight, I'd like to go out on a date. But here's the thing. God, there's nobody really who I've been keeping in touch with. So I don't. When the date is over, like, I don't want to have to worry about talking to you tomorrow and all that other stuff. I just want to enjoy the company of a gentleman tonight. And at that time, I was in the seminary, and I was sitting in our little commons area, and I was just feeling all mopey. But I said, Lord, if it be your will, because I know you can do anything, God. So if it be your will, could you please just let me, you know, like, have dinner with one of my guy friends tonight with no strings attached? I said, so you know what? I'm going to sit here for about 10 minutes, and, you know, if you want to hook it up, then hook it up. And when the 10 minutes are over, God, if you don't want to, then fine, okay, just, you know, give me peace. And so I sat there. 8 minutes later, a friend of mine came walking through, and he and I began to talk. He said, hey, what you doing for dinner? I was like, nothing. He was like, well, come on, let's go to dinner. I was like, yes, woo! And what that taught me was God answers prayers. There's nothing that's too big. There's nothing that's too small. He really is concerned about every single thing that concerns us. What he wants us to do is to recognize who he is and to trust him. Sometimes when we pray, God says yes right now. Sometimes he says yes next week. Sometimes he says yes 25 years from now. Sometimes he says, well, no. But remember, God's no is always better than Satan's yes. I'm going to say that again. God's no is always better than Satan's yes. Do not let the enemy fool you. When God says no, it's for our safety, it's for our security, and it's for our salvation. And nothing that the enemy brings our way will ever be able to be better than what God has for us. So we're going to read this verse one last time, and here's why. There's something called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina says when you're studying the Word of God, you know, just quietly, simply, and you want to try to hear, not try, you want to hear what God is saying to you personally, you read a passage of Scripture three times. The first time you read it simply to just familiarize yourself with the passage, like we did the first time, we just read it. The second time you read it, and after you read it, you pause for about 25 to 35 seconds, or however long God impresses upon your spirit, and you pause and you just say, what are the words in this passage of Scripture that immediately call my attention? Then the third time you read it, and you pause and you say, God, what are you saying to me? So we read this passage of Scripture the first time to familiarize ourselves. We read it a second time. I'm going to ask you to look at that passage of Scripture and just very quietly, what parts of that passage immediately called your attention? Not for the rest of the world, but for you in your life. What parts of that Scripture immediately jumped out at you? Do I have two volunteers that would be willing to share what part? Please. Don't be afraid or terrified of them. Beautiful. Anybody else? Any other? What part of that text jumped out, immediately caught your attention? He will not fail you. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Yes. He is with me. Awesome. Okay, so it's personal. Now we're going to read it the last time. And when we read it this last time, after we're going to pause, and I want you to just say, God, what are you saying to me? Because there's a personal message in this text for each of us. So I'm going to read it out loud. Be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Is there anybody willing to share? What is God saying to you tonight? That you're not alone. Praise God. Yes. Anybody else? What is God saying to you tonight? Please, I am with you. Hallelujah. Anybody else? What is God saying to you tonight? Please. God is with her now, and God will continue to be with her. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? What is God saying to you? Please. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. One more. Anybody else? What is God saying to you tonight? Please. Be strong. Hallelujah. There are so many things that take place in this world that will compete with our strength, that will compete with our own sense of being comfortable in our own skin. And yet God is saying to us again, I need you to remember 24 hours a day, 7 days of the week, you're not alone. You're not by yourself. And if by some chance there is appearing to be a lack or limitation, I want you to understand I am merciful. I am kind. I am compassionate, and I love you, just like Jackie spoke to you last week about who is he is loving. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. I love you with a love that you have never experienced before. Every day I ask God, God, love me more. Because there's verses in Psalm where he says that God rejoices over us. And when I think about, for me, I'm musical. So when I think about God rejoicing over me, I think about the heavens are open, the angels are singing, there's music playing, and But understand, God rejoices over you. And every single day, irregardless of what they say or what they don't say or who helps you or who's not there to help you, God says, I'm here for you. And many times in life, we will find ourselves in circumstances where you don't have anybody but God. And sometimes we look at those places like it's just the worst thing ever, and it's not. How does God get an opportunity to exercise his faithfulness when we are in a place of impossibility? Because if we can do it, then we cease to need his mercy and his grace. But when we are in a place of impossibility, when we are in a place where we have no more sufficiency, that is when God can show his grace. That is when God can be supernatural and show you his mercy for you, not just for everybody else, but for you specifically. How do we have testimonies? We have testimonies when we go through tests. If you never went through a mess, then you would never have a message. Ah, you like that, right? Okay, so who is he? He is merciful. Let's continue. What does it list? Sorry. Like, it should be list. List all of God's attributes. His mercy is, I'm sorry, let me go back. Like all of God's attributes, as it says on the worksheet, his mercy is, and I'm going to give it to you, his mercy is infinite, his mercy is unlimited, and his mercy is eternal. Woo, that's sweet right there. His mercy is infinite, his mercy is unlimited, his mercy is eternal. Donna, what does it mean that God is merciful? Well, the answer is right here. We're going to read it. God being merciful basically means that when we deserve punishment, he doesn't punish us and, in fact, blesses us instead. Mercy is the withholding of a just condemnation. Throughout the Bible, God gives many, many illustrations of his mercy. I want you to just pause and think about a time in your own life where you knew you did or you said something that was not Christ-like. It is because of the mercy of God that you are able to sit here and chuckle. I don't know if you ever read the Old Testament and back in the day when they committed sins and how it was many times instantaneous, but because of the mercy of God, you and I have not received the punishment that we deserve. You and I, because of the mercy of grace, God says that when we come in contact with a temptation, that he has already provided a way of escape. That is because of the mercy of God. So when the temptation comes to lie, you don't have to lie. I'm pausing intentionally for a minute. I've had multiple conversations where people have said, well, you know what, lying is wrong, but in certain situations, it's appropriate. Huh? I don't understand. If lying is dishonest and it's never appropriate to be dishonest, then how is it appropriate to be dishonest in certain situations? God says, for every situation that you come in contact with, I have given you a way of escape to still be who I've called you to be. A woman after my own heart. A woman who is honest. A woman who is respectful. A woman who has joy. A woman who is cheerful. A woman who is virtuous. A woman who is good with her hands. A woman who loves me and serves me and trusts me. For every temptation, I have given you literally a way of escape. He says in Psalm 91:11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all of thy ways. You will learn as you read the promises, that word all comes up over and over and over and over and over. Again, it even came up when we started today with Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Because that word all means what? It means all. And what does all mean? It means all. Yes. Yes. And God says we have got to get to a place where we understand that he is infinite and he is unlimited and he's eternal. And he is eternal. Awesome. Exodus 3, 6 through 7. Exodus 3, 6 through 7. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. So there are five expressions in that Bible verse that I just read of God. I'm going to give you 3 minutes to go through that Bible verse and find the five expressions. When you find them on the top of the worksheet, you see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Go ahead and write them in. I will give you 4 minutes, okay? Because it's listed right there. I'm going to read it one more time, and then from the time I finish reading it, time will begin. And you're looking for the five expressions of God in that verse. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. You have 3.5 minutes. Exodus chapter 3, 6 through 7. Ah, okay. Those of you who have the worksheet, keep going. Those of you who don't, I will find a few very quickly. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I gave you the wrong one. Thank you. Yes, yes. Exodus 34. Thank you. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. Thank you. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. I'm going to give you another minute, and then we'll keep doing it together. All right, so keep working as we move forward. So the five expressions that we find in that Bible verse. Number one, he is a God who is merciful and gracious. Number one, he's merciful and gracious. Number two, he is slow to anger. Hallelujah. Number three, he is abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. All right, then he is forgiving iniquity, keeping steadfast love for thousands, and then forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Powerful. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So one, he's a God who is what? He's merciful and gracious. He is two, slow to anger. He is three, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He is four, keeping steadfast love for thousands, and five, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Now, those of you who have the worksheet, you have a triangle. Those who do not have the worksheet, if you have a piece of paper to write on, go ahead and draw a triangle, okay? And if you're next to somebody who has a worksheet and you don't have one, just take a look at it. Draw a triangle. And I'm going to show you the five expressions on the triangle. So if we start here at the bottom, at the base, okay, on your right side at the bottom, okay, we're going to go ahead and write, forgives iniquity and transgression of sin. All right, so at the base, right on the corner, okay, forgives iniquity and transgression of sin. Right across on the other side at the base, you're going to write, he is merciful and gracious. Merciful and gracious. Okay? So on one side of the base, you're writing merciful and gracious. On the other side of the base, he forgives iniquity and transgression of sin. Then as we go on the side of the triangle, you're going to write slow to anger. Slow to anger. And on the other side, going up, you're going to write, keeps steadfast love. Keeps steadfast love. And at the top, you're going to write, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Okay, so I'll do it again. On one side, you're going to write, merciful and gracious. On the other side of the base, you're going to write, forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. Then slow to anger, keep steadfast love, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Now, there's no special formula to the triangle. The triangle simply just helps us to have a visual representation of what is at the base and what is always continuous when it comes to God being merciful. God at all times forgives us. He forgives us. There's nothing that you could have ever done in your life that God will not heal you from and that God will not forgive you for. The unpardonable sin is the unrepented sin. So when we hold on to things and we don't ask God to forgive us and we don't yield our hearts and lives over to him, there's nothing that he can do with that. He cannot give you peace for a heart that is unsurrendered. I'm going to say that again. It's very hard to have peace when our hearts are unsurrendered. So tonight, God is saying to you and to me, if there's anything in our heart and minds right now that we are angry at God for, God, you disappointed me. You weren't there for me when I went through this. How could you allow me, if we're not surrendering our hearts to God, God cannot give us the peace that passes all understanding. On my journey at one point, I hated God. I told God one day, I'm done. I'm not talking to you anymore. And the crazy part was, I was still going to church. I was just pretty much going, but I wasn't trying to raise my hand and worship, wasn't really trying to hear anything. I was just going to go. And while I was going to go, I was still participating in women ministry activities. So on this particular day, when I was really angry at God, God, I'm done. I'm not talking to you anymore. I happened to be at a women ministry meeting. And so at the end of the meeting, somebody had the smart idea. Well, when the worship service, when the meeting is over, we're all going to get together and we're going to hold hands and we're going to say a prayer. And every person in the group is going to go around the circle and do a circle prayer. And I said, what? I said, God, I told you I'm not talking anymore. So what I did was I positioned myself so that I was the very last person to pray. And they started. I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to pray a real prayer. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to say the mispah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent. I figured that was a good plan. And so they started praying and they went around the circle. And then all of a sudden, one of the ladies, whoo, she fainted. And I don't know why, but for some reason, I said, oh my God, I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I just threw up my hands and, you know, and I know God winks at our foolishness, but what God taught me on that night was, do you understand that I'm everywhere? Do you understand that I'm the only one that can love you the way you really need to be loved? So when you cross your arms and you lock up your heart and you tell me you're not talking to me, do you understand that you're refusing to talk to Creator God, the one who loves you, the one who can provide for you, the one who satisfies all of your needs? And God began to melt my heart. And God says to you and to me, listen, I am merciful. I am compassionate. I am kind. My love is everlasting. It's steadfast. Steadfast means it doesn't stop. It keeps on moving. It's active. It's live. It's transformational. Don't you want to experience God every single day in a way that's active and passionate and transformational? And what's amazing is more so than you wanting to experience it with him, he wants to experience it with you. And God is saying to you and me right now, if we are not engaged in an active, passionate, and passionate doesn't always mean, yay, woo, raise your hand. It means engaged. It means committed. So whatever form, whatever your relationship with God looks like, be in it and be all in. And that is how you are able to experience his mercies that he has already promised for you by name. He's already promised for you, daughter of the Most High God, that he's already covenanted to give, to provide to you every day of your life. Let's continue on our sheet. So if you turn it over now, I'm sorry, at the bottom of it, it says, but God. Okay, and if you notice in the Word of God, you will find multiple verses that say, but God. When somebody uses the word but, what happens to everything before it? It cancels out, right? So let's look at these Bible verses. Exodus 13:8, it says, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of God went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. But God, that's saying that everything that they were going through before that moment cancels out. Why? Because God did what? He delivered them. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:4-7. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. But God, being rich in mercy, where in your life do you need the richness and the abounding of God's mercy to flow in like a flood? Turn to the next page. Every time you see the word but God, you know something good is going to follow. That little word but means everything to us. So now let's fill in the blank. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, he made us alive by Christ's redemptive work at Calvary. We were raised from the dead in our sins condition by grace alone, which cannot be earned. This is how his mercy will forever be displaying the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness or mercy toward us in Christ Jesus. I'll read it again. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, he made us alive by Christ's redemptive work at Calvary. We were raised from the dead in our sins condition by grace alone, which cannot be earned. This is how his mercy will forever be displaying the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness or mercy towards us in Christ Jesus. God's mercy touches his love, and his love is active. How do we know that God loved us? Because the Bible tells us in John 3:16, what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do I have any whosoevers in the room tonight? I'm one, right? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. He didn't say you had to come from a certain country, or you had to come from a certain neighborhood, or you had to come from a certain financial. No, he said, whosoever chooses to believe in him, that person will not perish, but will have what? But will have everlasting life. When we were dead, when we were absolutely hopeless, God did something. This is what the apostle wants us to see. God took action. God broke through. And what he accomplished did break the spell of evil, and it began to set us free. All of this, as you know, becomes available to us when we believe in Jesus Christ and are obedient, serving the Lord our God with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our strength. So as we get ready to close, let's consider this. If you have the worksheet, look there. Consider this. The wages of sin are what? The wages of sin are what? Because of my sins, I am sentenced to death. I cannot pay that penalty without losing eternal life. Because if I died for my sins, I could not resurrect myself, I would be dead forever. I owe something that I cannot pay, but Jesus comes along and says, I will pay for you. I will die in your place and give you credit for it. You will not have to die for your sins. I must accept the offer. I openly acknowledge and accept his death for my sins. So that means that I must believe that he died for me. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says that he should taste death for every man. I must believe that he forgives me. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And 3, he saves us. So I have to believe that he died for me, that he forgives me, and that he saves me. He that believes on me will have everlasting life. Read this last part with me, please, if you have the worksheet. All together, Jesus knows the circumstances of every soul. You may say, I am sinful, very sinful. You may be, but the worse you are, the more you need Jesus. He turns no weeping, contrite one away. He does not tell any that he might reveal, but he bids every trembling soul take courage. Freely he will pardon all who come to him for forgiveness and restoration. On the back of that are Bible verses for you to contemplate at home that look at God being merciful. I frequently teach my Marines and Sailors songs from the Bible. And so as we close tonight, I want to teach you a song that will be a blessing to your heart and your spirit, especially when you find yourself in those moments where you don't understand what's going on in your world. You don't understand where God is. Your heart feels fearful. You're not sure how to move forward. I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Psalm chapter 61, and we're going to read verses 1-4, and then I'm going to teach you a song. This is a song, again, that I've been teaching for years, and when I was stationed at my last chapel, we would sing this song every time before prayer time, because it's a song that asks God to lead us to that rock that is higher than I. Psalm 61, I will read in your hearing verses 1-4, and it says, God, hear my cry. Pay attention to my prayer. I call to you from the ends of the earth when my heart is without strength. Lead me to a rock that is high above me, for you have been a refuge for me, a strong tower in the face of the enemy. I will live in your tent forever and take refuge under the shelter of your wings. And the song goes like this. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. That's higher than I. Let's try that together. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. That's higher than I. One more time, because now you know it. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. That's higher than I. God, thank you. Thank you so much for revealing yet again to us just who you are. You're a good, good Father that's so merciful. And we're grateful, Lord, that you will always lead us to a rock that is higher than ourselves, and that rock is Christ Jesus. We ask tonight, Lord God, that you will continue to move in the midst of our hearts, move in our homes, move in our life circumstance. I'm asking, God, that tonight you will provide peace for all of my brothers and sisters in this room, and that you will literally allow us, Lord God, to live lives that show that we believe that you are Lord and that we accept you as Lord and Savior. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.